You have to live it and you have to believe in it. Going to work for me is not a job.
Bold businesses.
It's been an interesting learning curve.
Do it on the side.
That's what keeps me up at night.
Do it differently.
It is a bit of a risk.
Mate, it was exciting.
Powered by Vodafone.
So we brought all these pallets of coffee in. I don't know how many you brought in. Maybe a container load.
We brought a container and not understanding how coffee deteriorates pretty quick. We thought, you know, 3, 4, 12 months, we could still sell this coffee, you know, but it just kept tasting different. Every month, from day one, it tasted horrible. We were getting more and more people saying, what the hell are you doing with your coffee? And I'm like, oh, okay, this is not working.
That was our producer talking with Craig Dixon, who, along with his friend Rocky Veneziano, started the Veneziano coffee brand 20 years ago. Now they've got turnover of over $50 million a year. You're listening to the Bold Businesses podcast. I'm Cara Waters, Fairfax's small business editor. Today, we've convinced Craig and Rocky to step away from their fabulously aromatic coffee roasting operation down by the Yarra River in Richmond to get the 101 on how to build a hospitality empire.
Hello.
So how long does coffee last?
Our preference is that all our coffee is consumed within probably 7 to 21 days after roasting. So, yeah, you need to age it for a little bit of time. And then after that 21-day mark, you certainly start to lose all the volatile flavours and aromas and all that sort of stuff starts to tail off. So we try and get all our coffee consumed within that 7 to 21-day window.
And, Rocky, you've been primarily in charge of developing the Groove Train Cafe brand. And Craig, you've developed the Veneziano coffee brand. So I want to start with Groove Train. Because it's grown to 33 stores now, how do you take the leap from having one successful cafe to going, let's open another one?
It just grew to a level where we thought, you know what, we're not sitting in this little 80-sitter restaurant, let's get a bigger one. And within 3 years, we had 5 stores.
Tell me about how you went about the process of where you started off and how those 5 stores grew.
I think the first store was in Richmond, and I think me and my partner scrounged up a couple of dollars each. Was probably about 20 grand each we both came up with, and we borrowed about 40. And in those days, 20 years ago, was a lot of money. I think that 90 grand investment that we got, the business just hit the ground running, and we turned over about 1.5 million in our first year. Then we obviously went to South Melbourne. Again, a good strip of shops, a lot of traffic, but we didn't find the same customer there. A lot of them was driven by the Crown Casino. So we moved into shopping centres. So our third store was in a shopping centre, which was the old Daimaru building in Melbourne Central. And it took us a good month for that to just take off.
You were approached by other shopping centres after that. What did they see in your brand that wasn't in others?
Oh, look, we were definitely the new kids on the block and family, very family orientated. So Doncaster Shopping Centre literally made a big name for us. That store ended up being a $5 million store per year. So it actually was a very, very good store. And then every other centre took us from there.
And do you have any hard and fast tricks for understanding how to respond to the market and change when you need to change?
I think the key to my success is having great staff, staff that have worked in other places and can bring ideas to your venue. You know, as well as you going into other places and finding new sorts of food and stuff that people are bringing out. So you've always got to be upgraded with what's happening in the industry.
And you decided to franchise that business 8 years ago. What are the pros and cons of doing that?
You meet some really, really interesting people along the way.
Is that the polite way of saying it?
That's the very polite way. Everyone becomes an expert in the industry once they become a franchisee. But look, it's been a good journey. I can't say I'd look back and say I wouldn't do it. I believe that I've got a strong base at the moment with some really good people and growing. We've got another 7 stores coming up.
Would you have any tips for other people who want to go into to franchise their business?
I think the biggest key for me and the tip that I'd give everyone is if you're going to do it full-hearted, not half-hearted, because if you're going to take a step with one foot, you're leaving the other one behind. So both in, all in, or not in at all.
I've been talking with Rocky Veneziano, the founder of the Groove Train brand of cafes. After this message from our sponsor, I'll be asking Rocky's business partner and old friend Craig Dixon about how they went from importing a pallet of coffee beans to roasting over 50 tonne a week. Passion and a commitment to hard work have been the keys to success for Rocky Veneziano and Craig Dixon at Veneziano Coffee Roasters. They're driven by a burning desire to learn, grow, and become better at what they do. Like Veneziano, if your business has just 10 or more connections, you can partner with Vodafone and enjoy your own personal account manager. Plus, with the range of world-leading apps available through Vodafone's Ready Apps Marketplace, you'll be geared up to solve the many challenges of running a business, including keeping your business safe against viruses, malware, and other online threats. To start your journey, search Vodafone Business.
There's a fairly defined score sheet that we have to follow. So I'm generally a sensory judge or a head judge. So there's two technical judges, then there's four sensory judges. Yeah, and we have a whole pile of criteria that we have to follow, but generally we're looking for balance. So you're looking for a level of acidity, a level of bitterness, and a level of sweetness. And we're judging all those elements.
Yep.
We're also looking at the flavour descriptors from the barista. So if the barista says it's going to taste like Brazil nuts and dark chocolate and raspberries, then we're scoring them on their ability to nail those flavour notes.
I'm Cara Waters, and that was World Barista Judge Craig Dixon talking about his clearly very onerous task of judging the best coffee in the world. Australia is represented at the World Championships a lot. What makes us so good at making coffee?
We have obviously the heritage of the Italian in Melbourne and also the Greeks coming here. Melbourne was probably the first place to have espresso coffee machines. I think Danny Genovese actually claims he may have brought the first one in. So I think we've had espresso coffee in Melbourne for a long time, but we're also very driven food culture. So we were always pairing food and coffee together. And I think in Melbourne, we're always pushing the boundaries. So, you know, a lot of the countries around the world, like Italy, for example, they've sort of sat on their laurels a bit and they still make espresso coffee how they probably made it 20, 30, 40 years ago. Whereas in Melbourne, I think we're always challenging ourselves on how can we do it better? How can we do it differently? And that's why we've been able to grow this amazing coffee culture.
You refer to Veneziano as a specialty coffee roaster.
Yep.
What does that actually mean?
Oh, that'll take a long time to answer that question. In simple terms, specialty coffee, so coffee's grown obviously throughout the world. It's graded from a score to a score out of 100. Anything that scores over 80 is considered specialty grade coffee. But I suppose anyone can buy specialty grade coffee. Trick is that what you do with it after that also. I mean, Starbucks technically buy specialty grade coffee, and I wouldn't call that a specialty coffee experience compared to what we have here in Melbourne.
Is it hard to get the beans for specialty coffee?
Yeah, it is. So only 5% of the world's coffee that's grown is actually considered specialty grade. We have a team of about 8 roasters at Veneziano Coffee, and they all have their turns at going to origin. They all look after different countries. So we do direct trade with India, Colombia, Brazil, Panama, Peru, a bit of Ethiopia, a bit of Tanzania.
So how much coffee were you roasting to begin with?
When we started, I think Rocky had a few cafes and a few friends. So we were probably roasting about 250 to 300 kilos a week when we started. Which wasn't much. I think we could roast it all probably in a couple of hours in those days.
And what about now?
Today we're roasting somewhere between 45 and 50 tonne of coffee a week. So it's quite a large business from where we were 15 years ago.
How many cups is that?
Oh, I'd hate to think. Multiply it by 80 cups in a kilo and work that out.
Wow.
It's okay. A lot of cups a week.
And what sort of turnover does that have the business on now?
This year we'll turn over probably close to $50 million just at Veneziano Coffee.
So it's a big jump up from where you started.
A big jump up, yeah. I remember the first year we did $1 million. I think we went out to the pub and celebrated, and now we're on track to nearly do that in a week. So it's a big change in 15 years, yeah. Lots more staff.
How did you grow so fast?
We did invest heavily in the Australian Barista Championship and have continued to do that along the way. So winning the Australia Barista Championship and doing that well at the Worlds certainly put us on the map. And a lot of people were talking about Veneziano Coffee and what we were doing in the industry. Specialty coffee was probably quite new. And we were a little bit lucky that we were there in the right place at the right time. We saw ourselves as a premium supplier, and that premium end of the market just exploded to what you see today with probably, you know, there's over 100 roasters in Melbourne.
Were there growing pains along the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's not bring them up.
we've turned the phones off. We've hidden under the desks. We've had many meetings with the banks along the way to get – when you're growing at, you know, 20, 30% year on year on year, so you run out of cash. It's cash flow that kills you. So
you're actually investing in other people's stores because your equipment that you purchase, you're giving them to use.
Yeah.
And you're taking a risk that they at least give you the turnover that they say they're going to do, and then you've got to carry them and ride the wave with them.
Yeah, so that's how the system works, is it? That you provide the coffee machine and then they use Veneziano coffee.
That's correct. Yeah. So growing that, you know, you've got to invest in equipment, you've got to upgrade your roastery, you've got to carry all the debtors because, you know, cafe owners don't really like paying on time. So you end up with a lot of issues that affect your cash flow. So working through that, pitching your story to the banks and getting their support to help fund you through those times is critical.
How are you going to try and grow Veneziano and Groove Train further?
I suppose in the early days, we just started in Melbourne, but we set up some exclusive distributor networks in Canberra. Probably Sydney in those days and Adelaide.
Yep.
So that enabled us to grow into those markets without putting the capital in because obviously we didn't have the funding, but it gave us a foothold in those markets. And then eventually we opened the roastery in Brisbane. That came with its own pains. We probably forgot how long it took to grow a profitable business in Melbourne, and then we went and did it again in Brisbane. So that really hurt us, and it took a long time to dig out of that hole. But yeah, now we are national in Australia, and we're certainly looking at we're currently looking at opportunities in Thailand, UAE, New Zealand, and probably other parts of Asia to try and expand the brand. So specialty coffee in those markets is exploding right now. Yep. So the opportunity is really now.
And how will that growth occur? Are you looking at it organically or through acquisitions?
Probably we will consider both. So, you know, do we go in and acquire an existing brand in one of those markets and then, you know, bolt on our supply chain network and expertise and try and grow them? There are some markets where our investors have some other businesses, so that gives us some critical mass immediately, so we can go in, set up a roastery, and we already have some business to roast for. And off the back of that, we can grow our brand.
And when you have a business based around a commodity like coffee or like wine that can't really be changed, what role does innovation play? Can you innovate in the same way someone developing, say, a tech product could?
Yes, it's probably hard to innovate a flat white or a cappuccino, but I think, you have to keep challenging yourselves and just asking yourselves, how can you do it better? And at Veneziano, we have 3 world qualified judges for the World Barista Championship. We've won the Australian Barista Championship 4 times in the last 9 years, and I think came second maybe 5 times. So competing challenges everyone in the business. So it's not one individual's on stage, but it's a whole team of people behind that one individual who goes out there to tell a story and put their coffee on the table. The process of competing if you're competing at the world level, you are at the cutting edge. You are the best in the world in coffee. So competing and judging is the way that we continually challenge ourselves and see what trends are happening in the marketplace in the coffee world.
Yeah.
The next big thing is filter coffee. It's back.
What is this new filter coffee? How is it different to the stuff that we've all been avoiding all this year?
So I suppose, filter coffee has a bad rap because, you know, in the old days we used to brew it and leave it on a hot plate and it used to stew. It used to be made with low commercial grade coffee. But if you have a filter coffee these days in a specialty coffee outlet, it's generally, you know, the top 1% or 2% of the coffees grown in the world. We have a little machine called a Mocha Master, and I think we would have sold 10 of those last month just to some of our Melbourne cafes. So it's coming quickly. Now we have an account in Brisbane. They do about 120 kilos a week of espresso coffee, but they're serving 6 litres a day of filter coffee. If you said to me 5 years ago you're going to have an outlet that's going to serve 6 litres of filter coffee, people would have laughed at me, but it's happening.
Well, thanks to Rocky Veneziano and Craig Dixon for joining me in the studio today. In the next episode, we'll be talking with the man who turned his idea for the smallest, lightest tracking system for your pets into an international business.
I got down to $1.76 in my bank.
Until then, I'm Cara Waters, and this is the Bold Businesses Podcast, powered by Vodafone.
Let's face it, there's a lot of chefs out there. Italian is the way. You know, there's either, what is it they say, there's Italians and there's wannabes.
Right.
I thought that was a Greek joke.
No.
The Italian joke is fine.